All right, we're here with Catherine Albrecht, and she is the author, the co-author of Spy Chips. She's also the supervising producer of the new Grant Jeffrey film, Shadow Government, which is available at CatherineAlbrecht.com. Catherine, welcome to the Reality Report.
Hey, Gary, I'm one of your biggest fans.
Well, that's great to hear. Well, look, you know, you are on the cutting edge of the RFID technology. You've been following it for years. You've traveled the world speaking about it, exposing it. Can you give us an update? I know a lot of legislation has recently been introduced that is really it's a thorn in the side, I should say, of the industry. Tell me about it.
Well, I got to tell you, Gary, the thing that's really amazed me the most about RFID is back in 2002 and 2003, when we first started fighting the industry, they were talking about using RFID to tag every object on Earth, so consumer products. They wanted to use it to replace the barcode. What has happened is we went after them pretty hard with that. We put up a boycott against Gillette at boycottgillette.com, boycottbenetton.com. We did protests outside of Walmart stores and outside of Tesco stores in England. So we hit them pretty hard about the consumer product issue. As a result, what they did was they went to some place where we couldn't boycott them, and that is the government. So they, in 2005, began introducing these RFID tags into passports, and now what you've seen is the biggest global market for RFID right now is not consumer products, as the industry had predicted, and as they had promised us, they said repeatedly, we'll never use this to track people. Well, in 2008, the biggest RFID market on the globe was China. And the reason for that is China put in an order for an RFID tag for its national ID card, and now every Chinese citizen is remotely trackable right through their wallet through an RFID tag in their mandatory national ID card.
Well,
when we talk about this, it's not Chinese companies who implemented this either. It's U.S. companies like IBM, Cisco, Dell, Hewlett-Packard. They all work together with the Chinese communist government to implement a national ID system, the first one on the globe, actually, involving remotely readable RFID tags. And what this means is that a Chinese government official can actually take a handheld reader. He can point it at a pedestrian walking down the street from 30 to 60 feet away and identify that individual from the card right through the person's pocket, wallet, backpack, or purse, and then call up a record of information about that person that is mind-blowing. In China, these cards, these RFID spy-chipped national ID cards, are linked up with the person's entire educational history, with their entire work history, with their entire health history, even their reproductive history, all linked up with the microchip in these cards. And what horrified me, because I subscribe to all of the RFID industry publications, is after they filled that contract, which was enormous, the biggest RFID contract to date, they said, well, where are we going to go next? We've already earned all we can earn from China, and now they've begun fishing around for other markets. Here in the United States, the place you're likely to see that in ID, you're going to see it in the passports, but we scored a couple of victories there. They are encrypted. There is shielding fabric in the passport cover, so when you close it up, you've got some protection. And the read range on those is actually very short. So you're talking about a matter of inches, not yards, like you are with the longer range RFID tags. Where in the U.S. we need to be very worried right now is border states. They've introduced something called an enhanced driver's license, which is a terrible misnomer. They're actually spy chip driver's licenses. They are available if you pay an extra fee and if you request them and fill out a special form in the states of Washington, New York, Michigan, Vermont, and Arizona. And we know that the State Department has approached other border states trying to get them to introduce it as well. The problem with this, if you have one of these enhanced, so-called enhanced driver's licenses in your wallet, in your pocket, in your purse, in your car, you can be identified and tracked from 30 to 60 feet away, and not just by government officials who have some special key or encryption code to unlock it, but literally by anyone who has an RFID reader. And by anyone, I'm talking about the employees at Walmart in the back room scanning the pallets as they go into the warehouse. That exact reader can read the enhanced driver's licenses.
Really?
And a lot of people said, well, why would you use that standard? Why would you use the commercial barcode standard and put them into driver's licenses? And the answer, I've got to say, for a lot of people who are concerned about this, is because the infrastructure to read the RFID tags, the infrastructure that would put what IBM refers to as person tracking units, that's their actual term, into doorways and floors and ceiling tiles and shelving and furniture, that infrastructure is being designed to track consumer products. And so if they can use the same frequency, the same protocol, the same type of RFID into the driver's licenses, then you become, by extension, trackable by this entire system. And that's what they're rolling out now.
Now, that's one stage of the game, but we know that they have already chipped humans, Alzheimer's patients. Can you give us some other examples where they have actually chipped people?
Yeah, they have. We actually, if you go to antichips.com, and maybe you can show some of the pictures from our protest on the screen there, we actually did a protest against the experimental chipping of 250 Alzheimer's patients in West Palm Beach, Florida, at a place called the Alzheimer's Community Care Center. And what had happened was VeriChip somehow cozied up to the directors of this community care center and got them to agree to experimentally microchip people who were not in any position to agree to this. These are people whose mental incapacity made it impossible for them to give consent. So we said, well, you know, and I, as a human sciences researcher, I've got a doctorate in human development and psychology from Harvard, I had to jump through a ton of hoops just to be able to ask people questions on a questionnaire in the doorway of stores. I had to get institutional review board approval for using human subjects. These guys did no such thing. And there they were experimenting on these elderly patients. So we jumped in. We did a march and a prayer vigil against this, and we actually got that to stop. I can't take full credit for it. I think the main reason why they stopped microchipping people is because we were able to expose 10 years' worth of studies, research studies, that showed definitively that these microchips, when you inject them into laboratory animals, actually cause cancer.
Now, that came out in the Associated Press just a couple of years ago.
The Associated Press, Todd Lewin, extraordinary investigative reporter, worked on this story for 6 months, and I worked right alongside him. I was in the basement of Widener Library at Harvard and in the medical school library going through all of these studies, many of which had never been scanned and put on the Internet before. And I wrote up a 50-plus page report on this, which, by the way, is available free at antichips.com. Very in-depth academic review of all of those studies showing the cancer. And Gary, I got to say, it gets even worse because last week there was an announcement in Great Britain that they're going to be requiring microchips in every dog in the country. And this is being proposed as a way to prevent dangerous dogs from getting away with, you know, owners getting away with whatever. They can catch the dog, they can scan the dog and identify the owner. So it involves the creation of an enormous nationwide database of every animal, numbering every animal and linking it to an owner. The problem, of course, is the cancer risk. In addition to the privacy invasion and the libertarian aspect of why are you recording my dog? But what's even more disturbing is 2 weeks ago, I actually had two pet owners on my radio program, Howard Gillis and Linda Hawkins, both of whose dog in the United States have developed cancers. And in the case of Howard Gillis, his dog Seamus, which was a 100-pound bull mastiff, had been microchipped twice. Howard didn't realize that his dog had been microchipped by the breeder. He went by one of those free clinics where they say, free microchip today, bring your dog in, and they lure a lot of people in that way. They never scanned the dog to see if it already had a chip. They put a second chip in his dog. Well, within a short period of time, he began developing a cancerous tumor around those chips. By the time he passed on last month in a tragic, Howard is just broken up over this, he had developed a 4.3-pound tumor around these two microchips. So he passed on last month. Linda Hawkins' dog, Scotty, is undergoing intensive chemotherapy from the cancer that he developed from his microchip. Again, these are cancers occurring in places where cancer doesn't normally occur, between the shoulder blades on the dog. And when they remove the cancer, in virtually every case, the microchip is either embedded right in the center of it or it's attached to it.
Catherine, and what we know, we only have about 30 seconds left, literally. Mm. And I wanted to get you to plug startpage.com and give us a real quick snippet of what that's all about.
Absolutely. Well, the big thing I've been working on the last year is the database being collected by Google, which is the biggest database on human beings ever collected in human history. And people don't realize that they are unthinkingly adding to their personal dossier every time they log on to Google and look something up. All of that is recorded. It's data mined. They have very sophisticated programs. They determine our health, our financial circumstances, and everything else based on what we search for. So I have combed the globe, and I found a company that I am absolutely in love with. It's called StartPage. startpage.com. Start as in start protecting your privacy, or start your engines, like your search engines. You can find them online at startpage.com. I've been over their privacy policy with a fine-tooth comb. I am their U.S. spokesperson. I know I've broken bread with the people who run the company, and I can vouch for them. They're third-party certified. They don't record your IP address or make a record of your searches.
All right, Catherine, thank you for joining us on this edition of the Reality Report. We hope to have you back soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Gary, for all you do.